In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. During the Passover season, the Easter season, Jesus is our Passover. I want to tell you this, that the church gives us readings from the Acts of the Apostles. You cannot separate the resurrection from the giving of the Holy Spirit. You cannot separate the resurrection from the giving of the Holy Spirit. Now we know that third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Peter and John were still going to the temple to pray. They are Jews, but they're part of the church now. Peter and John going to the temple to pray. And they see the man that's been there for years, and he's begging. "Silver and gold I have not," they say, "but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And the guy starts walking. This is all done through the power of the Holy Spirit. But as a result of this, Peter and John are going to get into tremendous trouble. And now I'm reading from the fourth chapter, the 13th verse. "And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men." I'll tell you, they might have been unlearned and ignorant, but I tell you, they were filled with God. They might have not gone to school, they were fishermen, but I'm telling you now, they're fishing people. I'm telling you, they might not have gone to theological school, but they are filled with the power of God. They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that these men had been with Jesus. Ah, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that they knew that these men had been with Jesus? Do people know that you are with Jesus? Do people know that I am with Jesus? Do people know this? Not only when I preach, but when I go to the store. Do people know that I am a companion of Jesus? Oh, you know, they perceived that they had been with Jesus. "And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it," because everyone knew this man. He was at the beautiful gate for years. He had been begging money. "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, and it is manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem.'" Everyone in Jerusalem knows this that goes to the temple. He always was at the beautiful gate. You understand what I'm saying? "And we cannot deny it." We cannot deny that this man now is walking. He's walking. He was paralyzed before. Now he's walking. "But that it spread no further among the people, let us strictly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in the name of Jesus." And they called them in and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to men or to God, you judge. Shall I listen to men or to God?" Listen to the next line. "For we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard." Oh yeah, I love that song. "I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself, but I couldn't keep it to myself, but I couldn't keep it to myself." Listen. "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." You want to know why? Because it's in our DNA. I know what they're talking about. I know what they're talking about. I cannot but speak in the name of Jesus. I cannot but. This is just something in me. It's not something that I decided to do one day. It's not something that I said, this is what I'm going to do for a living. This is the Spirit of God within me. I know what they're talking about. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And let me tell you, there are still things that we can see and hear in the name of Jesus. There are still signs and wonders and miracles in the holy name of Jesus. As a reward for what he did on the cross, as a reward for what Jesus the Lamb did on the cross, the slain Lamb, signs and wonders and miracles. I believe. You say, I don't believe in signs and wonders and miracles. I believe in Jesus. And because I believe in Jesus, I know I see signs and wonders and miracles. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So when they had further threatened Peter and John, they let them go, finding nothing that they may punish them, because the people, all the men, glorified God for what had been done to this man. For this man was about or above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing had happened. So what's happening? They're being reprimanded for not speaking, not to speak in the name of Jesus. Never, don't speak in the name of Jesus. They're being reprimanded. You cannot speak in his name. And what do they say? We cannot but speak what we have seen and what we have heard and what's happening. We cannot but speak. Should we listen to God or should we listen to man? We cannot but speak. We cannot but speak. I understand that. I understand that. It's like Jeremiah. Do you know Jeremiah? Jeremiah in the 20th chapter decided, because he was in a system, because everybody hated him, because he said, repent or we're going to Babylon, he said, I'm never going to speak in his name again. Never. I'm sick of the pain. I'm sick of the rejection. Then he said, but there was a burning in my bones that I could not hold it in. I had to speak. I had to speak. See, it was in Jeremiah's DNA. I'm speaking to preachers, Catholic and Protestant. Pray that you would have this anointing. I cannot but speak in the name of Jesus. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. You know? I remember one of the Polish girls. She had come for the retreat, the Holy Spirit School, and she went home. And when she went home, her family persecuted her. They persecuted her. Her family said, there will be no talk of Jesus in our home. And so she said to the Lord, I'm not going to speak in your name anymore. She went for Hamburg someplace. And she said, Lord, if you send somebody to me, that means you want me to continue to speak. Somebody was sent to her, and she led them to Jesus. It's in her DNA. It's in her DNA. You see what I'm saying? It's in her DNA. I understand that. I do understand that, you know. Most people don't understand that. I can go to a cocktail party. You know, I have no problem going to a cocktail party. And I start talking about Jesus to people. And I pray with people. I'm not invited to too many cocktail parties. I'm not the person people can invite to cocktail parties. They'll invite me when somebody's dying of cancer, but they won't invite me to cocktail parties. Not that I want to go, if you know what I'm saying. I don't need to go to cocktail parties. That's not the issue. But even at cocktail parties, I'm proclaiming Jesus. I'm praying with people. People find me. I don't know how they find me. I don't have a sign on my back. Here I am. But they find me. They find me wherever I go. They find me. And you know why? It's in my DNA. The Holy Ghost is like a transmitter. He's going. You can go to this one. And people in their hearts know. They know. You know, this is real. This is real. This is real. I'm not telling you something that's not real. This is real. Even when I'm low, you know, low, the Holy Ghost sends people to me. When I'm low. Today I was speaking to someone, to Dan, who just lost his mother. And his mother was a saint, not because she's dead. She has helped more people, probably, than I have. She's a saint, and she just went to God. And you know what Dan said to me? He said, "You're like my mother. You can be low, but you still care about people when they come to you. I've noticed it. I've noticed you caring for people, praying for people when you're low." We cannot but speak in the name of Jesus. It's in my DNA. Why do you think the apostolic church spread throughout the world so quickly? Because in their DNA was the proclamation of the cross, burial, and death. Death and burial and resurrection and ascension of Jesus and the giving of the Spirit. That's why it spread so fast. I said last week, there are three things that people need. First, an encounter with Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then they must be formed. And then they are sent out in mission. These three things are so important. If there is no encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're forming them in words, and you're sending them out to preach words. And I'm telling you, it's much more than words. It's the Word made flesh who dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. It's the Word made flesh. There must be an encounter with Jesus. If they are to be formed, whoever we're forming, they must have an encounter with Jesus. Now, somebody came to me last year, called me up yesterday, and told me that he had the privilege of praying with a whole group of college kids. You see, he had already had the encounter when I met him. So what he got from me was the anointing to pray with people. So he was formed in the anointing. And he says, "You wouldn't believe what happened last night. The power of God came with great ease and great glory." See, he had already had the encounter and has the encounter with Jesus. Then, you know, he came to me by the grace of God, blessed. I was blessed. And the anointing, he saw the anointing, formed in the anointing, and then sent out to college kids just the other night. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's wonderful. And you know what's so wonderful? I'm going to tell you what's so wonderful. The place where he went would never call me, but one of my friends, whom God used me to bless, was sent to the place who would never call me. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's wonderful. I don't need to go, as long as somebody goes. As long as somebody goes, I don't need to be the one. But isn't that wonderful? That the Lord showed me that even though these people would never call on you, which is fine, there are lots of people I wouldn't call on either. That's true. Everyone calls on who they want. We're free. But someone who got the anointing, who received the anointing, was able to do what I wouldn't be able to do because they never would have called on me. That's beautiful. That gives me tremendous hope that, you see, even if people reject me, they won't reject those disciples that the Lord uses me to bless. That's wonderful. And I even tell people once in a while, don't tell them you know me. Don't tell them you know me. I've said this for years. I've said this for years. Don't tell them you know me. Please. There are certain people you can tell you know me. There are other people that I'm a stumbling block, just like St. Paul. You know, we're all either stepping stones and stumbling blocks for whatever reason. See, I want to be a stepping stone for everybody, but I'm not. I'm a stumbling block to some people, and I understand that. St. Paul was that. But you know what? When I'm on the radio, the people who hear me want to hear me, so I can be a stepping stone for them. A stepping stone into grace. A stepping stone into the heart of Jesus. A stepping stone to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're all stepping stones or stumbling blocks. I don't want to be a stumbling block. You think I want to be that? But just because of who I am, I will turn people off. But then again, just because who I am, I will turn people on. So, you see, if you don't find life through me and the ministry that God works through me, find it someplace else. I don't feel bad about that. I say, you know, as long as you find it, as long as you find it, it's okay. It's okay. Let's continue. And being let go, they let them go. They went to their own company. That's to the people who were in the upper room. And they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them, don't preach in his name anymore. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God in one accord. Here it is again, in one accord. One heart, one mind, one soul. And they said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them. You have spoken through your servant David. Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, and against his Messiah, the Christ. For of a truth against thy holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together against him. For to do whatsoever they handed thy counsel determined before it was to be done. But now, Lord, now, Lord, now, behold their threats, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal with signs and wonders, with signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they assembled together. And they were all filled again with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak the word of God with boldness. Oh yes, Lord, look upon the threats they're waging. And stretch forth your hands with signs and wonders and miracles. Help us to preach with boldness. Oh, Mamma Mia. What happened? The Spirit of God came. There was a new Pentecost. Another Pentecost. The building was shaken. It was not an earthquake. It was a Holy Ghost quake. It was the power of God. It was the finger of God. It was the hand of God resting on that place. Shook that place. Oh, God. Listen to their threats. And now stretch forth your hand in the name of Jesus, your slave, your servant, your son. Oh yes, that we would preach with boldness, because we must preach. We must preach. We cannot but preach. We've got it in our DNA. We can't but do it. Oh Lord, stretch forth your hand, oh God, with signs and wonders and miracles. Signs and wonders and miracles. Oh yes. And the place shook with the power of God. I need that kind of an earthquake. That's the kind of earthquake I'm looking for in my life. That's the kind of earthquake I'm looking for in my church. The place to shake in the power of God, that the Holy Spirit caused there to be a shaking, and all the garbage that's in me would fall away, and all the garbage that's in you would fall away, that he will be a good shaking. Oh, I love when the Holy Ghost shakes me. I love when the Holy Spirit shakes me. He shakes all the debris that is gathered in my life from my history. Yes, he shakes, 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 shakes. I need to be shaken. I need to be shaken. You need to be shaken. We need to be shaken, not by an earthquake, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be shaken, that all those areas of unbelief, all those areas of criticism, all those areas of self-hatred, all those areas of shame would fall off, would fall off, would fall off, would fall off. Oh God, shake us. Oh Jesus, shake us. Oh Jesus, send your Holy Spirit and shake your people. Shake your people, Lord. Shake them now. Let love come upon them. Shake your holy people, Lord, that they would be able to preach the word with boldness, with signs and wonders and miracles. Oh Jesus, shake your people. Shake us all up, Lord. Shake us up in the Holy Ghost. For the place where they were seated was filled with the Holy Ghost, and the place began to shake, to shake, to shake, to shake. Oh, I've prayed with people and they start shaking. Oh, I prayed with so many people, they start shaking. One lady said, oh, what's she doing? I said, let her shake. She needs to shake. Let her shake. Let her shake. I said, you don't have to pretend you're shaking. If God's making you shake, shake. She's shaking off things. She's shaking off things. She's shaking off things. She's shaking off help, self-hatred. She's shaking off impurity. She's shaking off. She's shaking off. She's shaking off shame. Oh, yes. We need to be shaken by the Holy Spirit. We need to be shaken by the Holy Spirit. I do. We do need to be shaken by the Spirit of God. When the Holy Ghost shakes you, when the Holy Ghost shakes you, when the Holy Ghost shakes you, you become a new creation. Even after you became a new creation, you become a new creation, because you know what? He shakes things out of you, shakes things off of you. He shakes self-hatred off. He shakes division off, shakes gossip off. Oh, he knows how to shake. You know, I love it when there's a whole lot of shaking going on. A whole lot of shaking going on. When it's not contrived, but it's by the Holy Spirit. And you know, I know when it's by the Holy Spirit, when people come that know nothing, and all of a sudden they start shaking. And the lady who brought them, you know, said, oh no, what's happening? Look at, she's shaking. Oh yeah, let her shake. She needs to shake. Let her shake. No one's taught her to shake. It's the Spirit of God shaking her. Shaking off hatred, hurt, unforgiveness. You know, it's all about Jesus. And it's all about Jesus giving us the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to conclude by asking you this question. What's in your DNA? Are you a thief? You can have it changed. Are you a murderer? St. Paul was a murderer. You can have it changed. Are you a liar? The devil's a liar. You can have it changed. You just have to surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. To whom? All to Jesus, precious Savior. I surrender all. Hit it. I surrender all. I surrender all. Mean it. All to Jesus, precious Savior. I surrender all. I pray for the shaking of the Spirit, for the cleansing of our bloodlines, that our hearts and all the valves of our hearts would be opened, and all the plaque would be scraped away. I pray for people who had strokes, that they would be completely healed in Jesus' name, that their arms would move now through the blood of the Lamb. I pray for people who have strokes and other ailments of the eyes, that they be healed now by the blood of Jesus that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. Now be healed. Now in your wrists. Now in your arms. Now in your legs. Now in your kidneys. Now, Cole, be healed in your kidneys. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, now be healed. In your liver, be healed. In your breast, be healed. In your lungs, be in your bones, by the blood of Jesus, be healed. Listen now, I thank you for listening. We're on every day at this time, and I do need to hear from people. Maybe I'm not mentioning your place because I keep on forgetting where you are and who I'm talking to. I don't remember all the stations that I'm on, but I do know I'm on Fairfax, Virginia. I do know I'm on Washington, D.C. I do know I'm on in New Jersey. I do know I'm on in Chicopee Fall River. I do know I'm on in Springfield in Hartford. I do know I'm on in Ormond Beach. I do know I'm on in St. Louis. I do know I'm on in Boston. I do know I'm on in Phoenix, Arizona. I do know I'm on in these areas. So please, could you help us? Because we can't do this without you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And let me tell you, this is April, and the showers are coming. And you know what? Fix the roof before you need a whole new one.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.